Anybody ever get down? Nobody likes to admit it. I heard about one old guy that he said he never got down. He said he was either up or getting up. Now that's a good attitude to have, but the truth is that all of us get down one way or another at times, at some more than others, but it happens to all of us sooner or later. And here's the thing, it's not anything new. If you read the Bible, you'll see that many of the great heroes of faith had times when they struggled, times when they got down. I mean, when you think of somebody who was just really strong, somebody that was seemed to always be, you know, mentally tough. You think of the Apostle Paul. This guy went through so much. But did you know there was a time when he got really low, really far down? 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so we despaired even of life." That's pretty far down. Despaired even of life, just ready to give it all up. "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." He's about as low as you can go here, but take note of the last part. He says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Amen. Sometimes we get pretty low, but I want you to know that we need to totally trust God. Sometimes it takes us getting pretty low before we get to the place where we will truly, totally trust God. We've exhausted all of our efforts and abilities and everything else, and we're just to that place where, you know, well, it's come to this. We're going to just have to trust God. I don't know why we don't just trust God all the time, but we need to realize that when we're down, when it just seems hopeless, when there's just no way, well, it's time to trust God and not in yourself. Amen. How much better if we just decide to trust God? I think sometimes even when we're down, there's something about that old pride that we just think, I'm just going to claw my way back up by myself. Anybody else? Y'all didn't watch John Wayne, did you? I grew up with a whole lot of that John Wayne mentality. But I tell you something. When you're down, you just need to trust the Lord. That's the key. Life is full of challenges that bring us down. Discouragement, failure. Anybody had any failures? Shame, opposition. Sometimes we just struggle under the weight of life's burdens. You can get to that place where you just feel stuck, maybe even feel forgotten. Well, I got some good news for you tonight. He lifts us up. Psalm 146, the second part of verse 8 says, "The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down." He lifts up those who are bowed down. When we're weary and well-doing, you know, the Bible says don't be weary and well-doing. But do you ever get weary and well-doing? See, when we're weary and well-doing, we're under attack of the devil. When we feel oppressed or we're under the press of life and the burdens, bowed down, the Lord will lift us up. Some of us here tonight, you need a faith lift. I didn't say facelift. Some of you, I know you don't hear faith lift. We need to hear the word of the Lord tonight, because the word of God will rise your faith. It'll lift your faith. Amen. Get you headed the right direction in your thought life. Amen. So let the word of God speak to your heart tonight. If you're bowed down tonight, this word is for you. Now, if you're not, let me just tell you, you're going to cross paths with some people this week who are, and you'll have a message for them that the Lord will lift them up. We're going to go to Luke chapter 13 and read 11 through 13. "Behold, There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Here's somebody that's been bowed over with a spirit of infirmity. In verse 16, just a few verses later, Jesus said that it was Satan who had bound this woman for 18 years. I want you to know that's a long time to be looking at the ground. That's a backache. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine? Can you imagine even for a day being bowed over like this woman was? She was like this. Satan had her bound for 18 years. Sometimes we go through some things that last for a long time, but I want you to know there comes a day where he's going to lift you up. That's going to be over. That's right. Amen. Now, you know what? When you talk about this kind of situation like this woman, that's a little unusual, but there's a whole lot of people that might not be bowed down outwardly, but they are on the inside. And I want you to know, he wants to lift them up. Some been bowed down for a long time. You see, and just like that woman, we have an enemy of our soul. He works overtime trying to oppress people. A lot of times it's in their mind that he's working against them. Some have been bowed down by hurts and tragedy and heartache. Some just by the daily burdens and cares of this life. Some by the weight of their sin, a habit, an addiction. Oh, how that can just press somebody down. Just the guilt and condemnation sometimes bow people down. Let me tell you, Satan wants to bow people over to make them ineffective for God. He wants to keep you from fulfilling your calling. And there's no better way than to get you focused just looking at the ground in front of you, thinking about your own problems. You know, we can't be fruitful when we're just focused on our own problems. Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're white unto harvest." And you see, Satan wants to keep us bowed over so that we're not looking at the people around us, so we're not ministering, helping other people. He wants to hinder us in our relationship, our walk with God. Because sometimes when people are bowed down long enough, they just get to the place where they feel like God has let them down somehow. They begin to question God. Satan wants to destroy our vision, take our hope away. Get us to the place where we just give up on our dreams. Satan wants to make people miserable. Anybody heard the old saying, misery loves company? And he is one miserable dude. And he wants to take as many people down with him as he can. He wants to keep you from the abundant life that Jesus wants you to have here. I think sometimes people have become burdened down and they don't even realize it because they've been in that condition so long, they don't remember what it's like to really be free. But the Lord wants to lift us up out of the oppression of the enemy. In Psalm 145 and verse 14, it says, "The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down." I like the word all. All. Because the enemy will try to tell you that it's only for some, not you. All. That includes me. And that includes you. He lifts up all who are bowed down. We serve a God who loves us. He wants to help us when we fall and when we're under a heavy load. We can't do it on our own. He wants to lift us up. When we're depressed, that's right. Even Christians deal with depression. We know we should be up, but just can't seem to get there. We need to remember that he loves us and he'll help us. He'll lift us up when we're bowed down. See, hear the word of the Lord tonight. This is where our faith comes from. This is what our faith stands on. You know, the old song, some of you do anyway, standing on the promises of God. Listen, we don't stand on anything else. It's not positive thinking. It's not just an idea we had. We stand on the word of God. And here's what the word of God, he lifts up all who are bowed down. Oh, how we need to focus on him and on his word. You know, sometimes we go through a season of life that it just drags us down. I remember one time being in between ministry positions and it just seemed to drag on for months, you know, just time's going by and I'm like, what's going to happen? You know, Lord, why is this taking so long? And, you know, part of that equation for me too was my income was not what it ought to be. I mean, I was working and doing things, but I didn't have steady income. And, you know, for a man, that's a hard place to be when you got a wife and two kids. But, and you know, God made a way, God provided, but I'm just saying, that's a hard time and it just kind of weighs on you and drags you down when you go through a season like that. So many go through a hard time financially one way or another. I want you to know the Lord can lift you out. That's right. Psalm 113 and verse 7, he raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes of his people. Wow, that's the God we serve. He lifts the poor out of the dust. We may feel like there's just no way we can rise out of our situation or our weakness or our past. But like Paul, if we'll trust him instead of ourselves, he'll lift us up. Amen. We get weary. We get tired. We find ourselves caught in the mire. We can't do it in our own strength. We got to look to him. That's when he lifts us up. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to know he still brings good news to the poor. He still heals the brokenhearted. He still sets at liberty the captives, those who are oppressed. He lifts us up out of the pit. Out of the pit of despair, out of the pit of depression and destruction, out of the pit of sickness. Remember, the woman we talked about in Luke 13, this is a woman that had been bound by spirit of infirmity for so long, but there came a day. He lifts us up out of the pit of addiction. Psalm 103 and verse 4 says, who redeems your life from the pit. Some of you may have heard this story, but in 1990, there was a pastor named Dwayne Miller that was at the First Baptist Church in Brenham, Texas, and he got a virus that infected his vocal cords and caused what they said was permanent damage to his vocal cords. It was beyond repair. And over the next several years, he saw 63 specialists and their teams, over 200 doctors total, and he was left with a voice that sounded like the worst case of laryngitis that you could ever have. So because he was a preacher, a pastor, and he couldn't preach anymore, he felt like the right thing to do was to resign from his church. And so, you know, this was how he had always made his living. All his adult life, he made his living as a minister. And his wife had to become the breadwinner. And they moved to Houston. They attended First Baptist in Houston. And in 1992, he was given the opportunity to teach a Sunday school class. And they recorded the Sunday school class for those that missed, if they wanted to hear the teaching. And so I just want you to hear what happened as he's teaching from Psalms 103 in January of 1993. This is what happened. We have a little audio clip we want to play for you.
That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So the psalmist says, I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm a bit overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles.
Quite an amazing miracle that happened. And it's awesome that it was recorded on audio. But, you know, for 3 years, he was in this horrible pit, not being able to preach and speak, you know, just people could barely hear him at all. And in fact, he had a special microphone that he used so that people could hear him. But God did such an amazing miracle and brought him out of that pit. But here's what he said about that later. He said, you know, during that time, it wasn't just a physical thing. He was at such an emotional low, and God just broke that and lifted him up out of that. And he said that 20 years later, he said that he still celebrates that day, what happened every day. That's how much it meant to him. But he also said, if God could do that for me, he said he can solve whatever problem you have in your life. He loves you just as much as he loves me. Now, I want to tell you, I've been in a lot of different kinds of pits. I'm not going to share any of them with you tonight. Well, I did one, didn't I, when I was in between positions. I was also in a pit one time where I had a position, and it was a pit. But I've been in a lot of different kinds of pits. I've been in some of those places where, you know, I just felt like a loser, like, how can God use me? I'd been in those places where I was like, Lord, I'm just not very effective for you. And, you know, so many of those kinds of pits. But here's what I can testify to. God is faithful. He'll lift us up if we look to him, if we'll hope in him, if we'll trust him. What do we do when we're down? First, we call upon him. David said in Psalm 55, 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Some people say the Lord helps those who help themselves. Well, maybe, but he definitely helps those who can't help themselves. Psalm 147 and verse 6, the Lord lifts up the humble. This just keeps coming up over and over and over again, but I want to tell you, the day and the time that we live in, it needs to. He lifts up those who acknowledge their need for him. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So when you're in that place, I tell you, we just need to be humble and trust the Lord. Like a child who falls, what do? They lift up their arms. And mom or dad picks them up. You see, we just reach up to our Heavenly Father and we trust him to lift us up. We do that in prayer. That's how we do that. And we do it with childlike faith and trust that he's going to help us. Second, we got to hope in him. Don't look to anything else. In Psalm 42, 5 and 6, the psalmist says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Don't look to anything or anybody else. Look to God. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes God will use somebody. But you keep your eyes on God. Don't look to people. Our faith, our trust has to always be in him. Third, we need to obey God. That's right. Sometimes part of the key to getting out of the pit or getting straightened up again is to obey what the Lord tells you to do. When Jesus healed that woman that was bowed down to him, the first thing that happened was he called her to him. What if she said, I'm not coming to you, you come to me. I don't know what would have happened, but I just know that she did what he said and she was healed. We got to be willing to do whatever the Lord asked of us. Did you know usually it's not really complicated? The only thing complicated about it is whether or not we're willing to do it. See, to the man with the withered hand, Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, and he did. He tells another, go wash. It's pretty simple most of the time. He says things to us like, forgive. Oh, man, right there. Some people are in a pit and he wants to get you out. And here's what needs to happen. You need to trust him and you need to do what he says. Forgive. Until you do that, you bound yourself in that pit. And sometimes he says, give. How are you going to get out of that pit? You're going to trust him and do what he says. And he says, give. Preacher's always after your money. Don't give it to me. Give it to God. Sometimes he says, lift your hands in worship. Praise me. I want to tell you right now that a lot of the time, that's a big part of the key to breaking the chains of depression is being willing to just praise him by faith. Just praise him because he's worthy. Even though you don't feel like it, just because he's good and he's worthy, you praise him. Sometimes he says something like, help somebody else. Get involved in this ministry or that ministry. See, we just got to be willing to obey God. Fourth, we need to always glorify God. When that woman was straightened up, she glorified God. And you see, when God works on our behalf, when we have a testimony, we need to tell others what God has done for us and give Him all the praise and the glory. Always give Him the glory. If you're burdened down tonight, I want to remind you what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Oh, there's a rest for you where you can have that heavy burden lifted off of you. Oh, your responsibilities might not go away, but I'm telling you, the weight of that, Jesus can lift that off of you. Some of you here tonight, I know dealing with sickness for a long time can be such a hard place to be. You need to know that the healer is still alive and well, that He still heals, He still sets free. See, some carrying that burden of addiction, some habit or sin, He is well able to set you free, to lift you out of that. Some of you just under the cloud of condemnation and a load of guilt that you've borne, I tell you, He is able to lift that off of you. He's already paid the price for your sins. In Isaiah 61 and 3, it tells us that He gives us beauty for ashes. Oh, ashes. Ashes, that means it's over. Too far gone. Ashes, they covered themselves in ashes when they were sad, when they were depressed, and when they were in a horrible place. But He turns it around. He gives us beauty for ashes. He gives us the oil of joy for mourning. Yeah, we go through mourning, but there's a time of joy that comes. Jesus says that He comforts those who mourn in the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And there it is again. You see, He gives us the garment of praise instead of that old heaviness. But sometimes it is as we begin to praise the Lord that that heaviness is lifted and the garment of praise comes. We just by faith praise Him and He lifts us up. There's coming a day when we get over there. None of these things will bow us down, but we're all gonna bow. Everyone in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, the Bible says, will bow their knee to Jesus and confess that He is Lord. Yes, over there. Oh, we won't be burdened down and bowed over with sickness or disease or some kind of bondage or depression or any of those kinds of things. But we will willingly and gladly bow at the feet of Jesus, the one who set us free. Amen. And we will forever be free before Him. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray.